Right.
Soll ich
So,
anfangen? Okay.
yeah, I'll just
Ja,
start.
guten
All
Tag.
right.
Ist ungewohnt, ich spreche jetzt hier
Hello.
vor kein
It's
Publikum in drei
quite
Kameras. Ich freue
unusual
mich
for
sehr,
me
dass
to
ich
be
hier
speaking
Hilfsbereit sein
with
kann.
no audience, just the cameras.
Mein Name ist
I'm very
Oliver.
happy to be here.
Ich habe hier sowas vorbereitet, das ein bisschen zeigt, wo ich
And
bin. Ich komme aus dem
I
letzten Jahrhundert.
prepared a talk about myself. I'm from the last
Ich
century.
studiere
I
Filmakademie. Ich
studied film at the
studiere
Vienna Film
Regie und
Academy,
Dokumentarfilm
and
und
I
eine
also,
TV-Produktionsfirma
since
auch gehabt.
1992, I'm a producer
Und
of
über
documentaries
einen
and
digitalen
TV
Schnittplatz, den
productions.
ich mir
And
1990
since
angeschafft habe, bin ich so
1998,
zur Computer-App
I'm
gekommen, wurde
using
also der Herr über meinen
my own
Schnittplatz sein.
digital
Und
cutting
das, was eben
studio.
heute auf jedem Laptop funktioniert,
So that is how I
das
got
brauchte
into
ich
using computers and the
damals.
internet.
Maschinen, die ein halbes Vermögen
Because
gekostet haben,
back then, what is done by a
und
computer
auch mit zwei
today used to
Gigabyte
be done by
Arbeitsspeicher
very
kaum
expensive
D-Mark
machines
bezahlen. Auf jeden Fall,
that you had to pay
das ist so
thousands
mein
for.
Hintergrund, wie
So
ich
that is my
mich
background.
an die Computer herangewagt habe.
This is how I
Und
started using
dann
computers.
irgendwann auch angefangen,
And at some point,
CMS-Systemen mit Joomla
I
aufzubauen.
also started building
Und
websites
2016
with CMS systems and Tumblr and stuff. And
habe ich
since
mich an ein Netzwerk zusammengetan.
2016,
Ich hatte mit
I've
Joomla
been
immer
trying to
ein Internet
understand
Explorer
social networks and
installiert,
their
wo ursprünglich
dynamics.
Azure eben als
I
Basis
have
und so weiter, das habe ich zusammengebaut.
networks, like for example,
Und
with my former classmates for meeting up.
damit ging das einfach wunderbar und habe dann
And this
als
is what
Startup
social
so ein
media is
bisschen
really good
gemerkt,
for.
dass mit über das Backend hinten reinschauen können.
And I
Und
started kind of
hatte
looking
von
into the
daher eigentlich
back end
überhaupt
of
kein Interesse
things.
an Netzwerken
And
teilzunehmen, wo ich nicht selber der Herr
because I
im
wasn't interested
Entscheidenden
in being
Akt
part of networks
immer
that I
bin,
can't define for
hoffe ich, dass der
myself.
Admin doch einiges auch sieht, was da
Because as
ist.
an admin, you
Und
see a lot that's happening behind
deshalb
the
soziale
curtain.
Netzwerke haben mich
So
interessiert und als dann
that
aber
is why I
vor
really wasn't into social networks.
also klar wurde, dass darüber so
And
viel möglich ist an
when
Einflussnahme,
it
dass das
became clear how many possibilities
Netzwerke haben
they
angefangen,
had,
mich
for example,
in kommerziellen Plattformen
voter
zu bewerben, Dinge
manipulation,
zu
I
verstehen,
tried
mich abzuheben,
to
wie das Internet
approach
funktioniert,
commercial
und
social networks
hatte
and
eigentlich keine
tried to
Admin-Erfahrung. Ich konnte nichts
understand the
anfassen.
dynamics, how they work.
Und so bin ich
I
irgendwie
experimented.
zum Fediverse am Ende gekommen.
And that took me
Also
to the
habe eine
Fediverse.
nach der anderen versucht zu
So
verstehen
I
und
tried to understand
am Ende
one
bin ich
application after the
bei
other,
der App Hapsilla gelandet
and
und
the end I ended up
blieb
at
überzeugt
the
bis
app
heute,
Hapsilla, which I
würde gerne
still find
im zweiten Teil dieses Talks,
excellent.
also euch
And in
diese
the second
Technologie,
part of
die
this
relativ
talk,
unbekannt oder nicht wirklich verstanden ist, wie auch immer, euch ein bisschen näher bringen wollen und euch
I want
animieren
to
wollen, sie auszuprobieren,
introduce that
weil
app to
diese App
you
ist
and
im
encourage you
Prinzip
to try it out
Algorithmen
and understand
aufzubauen,
it.
die mit dezentralen Netzwerken
And I will try to
assoziiert sein
answer your questions
und
about or some questions
eins
about decentralized networks
der Frust, dass
and
mit
share
dem
the
Zulauf, dass das
frustration
Fediverse vor kurzem eben hatte,
about
die meisten eben
the
nur
massive influx
Masterbots
of new
oder
users
Lernenden
that
da erstmal hängen
came to
bleiben
use the
und
Fediverse are
vom Interesse
mostly
der
only
anderen
centered on Mastodon.
eben zu kommunizieren, dass es noch mehr gibt,
And I would like to
sodass man
communicate that there's
das
more
Vielfalt,
possibilities than
Vermittlungs
just
Vielfalt
that,
im
and that we
Fediverse
should use and appreciate the
das so
diversity and not
unglaublich
simple-mindedness of
ausgeweitet,
this
so einfach
Fediverse. This is what
wie
I
hoffentlich
prepared
jetzt nicht
for.
alle meine
This talk is going
Fragen
to be 1.5 hours.
oder
I hope
Anmerkungen,
it's not going to
die
be
ich
too
hier bringen
boring. And if
wollte,
you have
versuche ich noch
questions
mal
or
so
comments, please give
aufzuteilen
them
oder so zu mischen,
to the
dass man die
organizers.
Leute, die
I've
am besten
tried to
das Fediverse
mix
kennen,
up my
möglichst auch
presentation in a
vorbereiten
way
sollen
so
und
that
aber auch die Leute, die es noch nicht so gut kennen.
newcomers as well as
Deshalb werde ich
experts
vielleicht ein paar Sachen
can take something away
irgendwie
from my
mal auf
talk, hopefully.
Hand zeigen.
So there
Ich
might
hoffe,
be
dass ich dann
topics
danach
that you're
wieder
already
dann
familiar with,
später Sachen,
and
die dann
I
wieder
hope that a few
interessant
minutes
sind,
later I'll be
besser
coming back
beantworten
to the more intricate
kann.
stuff
Soweit
for the experts among you. So that is it from my side. You can't talk about the Fediverse without talking about this guy and this bird and what happened when he tried to make the bird tweet. And it looks like the bird has flipped its head down and is tumbling downwards. And at the same time, we've seen this up until the Twitter was bought. The amount of users was very low. There's no absolute numbers, but if you looked at active in the last months, this is what you see. Yeah, and that graph is really incredible. So it wasn't even 500,000 users, and now we've got more than 4 million. So that is incredible. And it's a very, very good development. There's even many institutions that joined the Fediverse. Organizations, associations, and charities are consciously making an effort to bring their communication to their social media, and this could be foundation for a movement that we need to push in order for it to be able to continue. Because at the moment, people are looking for a replacement beverage for the sweet soda they're used to. And it tastes a little different. It's no longer the big corporate group that produces the drink. And now we have a similar beverage that is supposed to satiate the same desires. And I want to talk to you about that Fediverse isn't a replacement, but it offers opportunities to be autochthonous on the internet. So we're not talking about a replacement beverage. We're talking about the Fediverse, where a lot is possible. And in mid-May, there was this post from a frequent Fediverse poster who tried to visualize it. So you can see that he was well centered on the a protocol, and there's a lot more. And in his proposal, he took out some numbers. There was a discussion, and soon after, there was taking it back, and then he decided to make a second visualization. And in the second graphic, you have a more differentiated picture of networks that use or speak another protocol, namely guesswork, that wasn't in the first graphic. And this shows that even people who, like Kukets, are really experts on the Fediverse, are really quick to reduce Fediverse to single aspects of it and ignore other aspects. And this is one of the oldest networks up until the hype. and also had the second most users. And to just take that out of the Fediverse and ignore it, that of course caused a lot of discussion on different forums. And it made us realize that you have to create awareness of what the Fediverse is and what it can be. It's about networked communication, decentrally organized, and ActivityPub is basically the glue that holds it all together. But there's a lot of other things that are equally as important. And it's important to understand that you have to respect this diversity and not just pretend it's all ActivityHub. A Diaspora developer in January already said in a discussion, no one implements ActivityPub, people implement Mastodon. And this is a sentence that was supposed to make people think. Mastodon has a beautiful user interface that people find easy to use. It basically looks like Twitter. And it makes getting into it easy. However, if you look at the application here, ActivityPub applications don't really communicate with one another. And what developers do then is to concentrate on the Mastodon implementation and achieve compatibility with Mastodon. And it's not about whether this is the best way. You're trying to use the simple, understandable Mastodon and make it available.
And that also illustrates a problem that came with the great influx in the last months. The bigger Mastodon gets, well, the bigger it gets, the less important the other networks are important. So the other networks, they see that they have to join somehow and not get left behind. And I think in the future that will remain important and it stays interesting. So ActivityHub is not finished, it's not completely defined yet. So not all the networks are compatible yet. And that might be a plus point, but it's also a problem. I tried to research who decides what gets done on ActivityHub and what code gets included. On the W3C, there is a web page that tries to inform about this. So there is a standard for the ActivityPub. It's being created by the WC3C. But there are a lot of dead links. There is another page as well. And on the first view, there is nothing visible, really. And there is a forum, but in this forum, and here we can also see how it's being developed and what rough edges are remaining and what can be changed. And in this Codeberg webpage, You can also enter proposals for the Fediverse as a developer or maybe also as non-developer, and it gets discussed and worked on. Well, yeah. That is what I could find about ActivityPub and what's defined there. So that is interesting because in that moment where stuff is not just written, but Mastodon doesn't work, include it, nothing is changing in the Fediverse. So the definitions alone, they don't do anything. So the power of the biggest network, that defines the pace of development. And also it defines what others will include or won't include. Just to mention that as a problem or as a challenge. And I think that for other apps, it might not be bad, it might be important that you don't just define yourself via ActivityPub, but also maybe speak your own protocol. That might be a big advantage in the future, because you become independent from other big players or other big applications, for example Mastodon. So if Tumblr were now entering the Fediverse, it was being discussed, so they could move it in a direction that might not be in the interest of everyone else. And if you have your own protocol, then you can stay independent from this pressure. So Pubzilla, what I want to talk about, they have their own protocol. So in this case, it could be a second pillar in the future. So what are these networks about? There is a need for digital connections, and we want to try to satisfy that need. So people in Silicon Valley had their ideas, but why do we want to limit ourselves to 140 letters? But I think it's about something else. What is it about? With these networks, they are like a nervous system, a central nervous system, and it connects us to a lot of things. So the person who creates the connection, they are also able to define the connections to our central nervous system. And it gets clearer and clearer. We can use these networks. There are fewer and fewer options to connect without using the networks. And Alice and Bob just want to talk. Maybe they don't want hierarchies and just talk. And without a third. So they want to talk without third parties interfering or having power over it. With the Fediverse, well, it's about everything, it's about the universe. The Fediverse for everyone. To repeat it, the Fediverse is combined from Federation and Universe. So together, the Fediverse. And it means a lot. It means that there can be several distinct planets and universes. But we want a big connection between everything. And that is asking a lot. And it's not easy to do. And how can we do that? Yeah, what do we want? We want to be sovereigns ourselves. And maybe we could use a few analogies to the analog world. And I also had seminars in the Cologne Library, And maybe it's about something like this. We don't want to get food served that's normalized or normified, but we want to find ways to create our own food. Not necessarily doing it all the time, but I want to have the option. I want to have the decision myself. Or maybe it's about this, similar to the power discussion or power production and distribution. It's about it no longer being centrally produced, but everyone has their own power plant on their house. So we want to have it decentralized, and everyone who has solar cells on their roof, a very central system turns step by step more decentralized. And we all know it. When we look at Ukraine, it's also about energy. And if they have the option to produce their energy themselves, that's a political factor as well. In decentralized networks, it's similar. And maybe we want this comparison as well. We want to be able to do things with our own power. I want to get from A to B, and I want to be able to do it with my own muscle power, maybe. It might take longer, but I want the option. I want to be able to try at least, and do it sometimes. And if I now have the comparison to the Coca-Cola bottle from the beginning, it's not about getting another type of cola. It's about the basic need to be able to drink something, to satisfy your thirst. And if I have the option to maybe add some CO2 as well, that's amazing. I don't need anyone anymore. And I can satisfy my own need. And Fediverse is similar for me. To have control about your own needs and to build up your communication as you need it. And a few questions about the Fediverse. And maybe some repetition. How is the Fediverse set up? So, we already know it's decentralized. There are advantages. But a distributive network would not be bad as well. So what does that mean? So decentralized and distributed, to understand all that, or to see the options of the networks, to understand all that, I'm going to repeat it. So we have these nodes. The task is to connect all of the nodes so they can communicate with each other within the network. Without connections, no network. With connections, there is a network. And maybe this is the easiest way to have it centralized. There is one point that connects all the others. So that's the scheme of a centralized network. So we have the same points. How else could we do it? We could do it like this. There are subgroups. And there are centers again. Can you see the mouse?
Nah,
it's invisible. Okay, now it's there. So there are centers, but it's not just one central point, but still everyone is connected. Everyone can be connected. If these subcenters start connecting. So these are examples how the centers could be connected to each other. So again, each point is connected to each other point with a important difference that the hierarchies are more distributed. So if I am at the edge now, but you're still dependent on your local center. But we are not depending on one central one who controls everything then. So what else could we do?
So this is a schematic overview of a decentralized network. Everyone can connect to anyone else directly. So this is what this would look like, or like that. So if you want to send a message to another person, for example, I'm this person and I want to send a message to that person and there's no option for a direct connection, of course, I'll send an encrypted message into the network where other users are connected to each other. And whenever the message is passed on, there's different possibilities for this message to arrive. And it'll take a little longer. But if you look at it, of course, this is the network with the least possible hierarchies. Everyone has the same rights. So if I could pick, I would like to use this kind of network infrastructure. So this is a direct comparison of the three network models. This is not my own graphic. It's from a computer scientist called Paul Barron. He's one of the forefathers of the internet, one of the pioneers in the 60s. He was part of a think tank that explored how to build secure communication in case of war or attacks that are indestructible. And he developed those models. And he was also of the clear opinion that the distributive network architecture is the most secure architecture. So you can find applications or networks that use this network architecture. So the centralized networks, those are the commercial well-known networks for a simple reason, because only in a centralized network do you have the possibility to effectively control things. And if I have a business model, it's probably very easy to realize it in a centralized approach. And then we have decentralized. For example, we have the Fediverse here, but interestingly, there's also applications that use a distributive network architecture, for example, RetroShare or ZeroNet or SecuShare. And, well, the example I actually wanted to show is not in here. I wanted to talk about Scuttlebot. It somehow got lost here. It should be in the right column. So I can recommend Scuttlebot to anyone using social networks. It's a very interesting application of distributive network infrastructures. It works kind of differently, but it has advantages and disadvantages that you should inform yourselves about. It works on the end devices. Usually those networks work peer-to-peer, which means that I install the app on my device and there's no server in between. So I can just start and use it. It's a flat hierarchy, but it has the disadvantage that it's not available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Usually it's only available when I switch on my device, and that prevents some applications that we know from commercial social networks and we've been used to for the past 20 years. So at the moment, well, it's still developing. It's also promoted by the EU, as far as I know, and development is ongoing. There's so-called pubs or cafes where you can meet up. So you also install it on your server. You can meet people at a Scuttlebutt server installation, and then once you know the others, you move away from the server and communicate peer-to-peer using your devices. So that's kind of a hybrid solution that is very practicable. And so they're trying to move from the world of decentralized network to peer-to-peer networks. And it's even possible to make decentralized networks more peer-to-peer, and the ideal might just be somewhere in between. So when we're talking about Fediverse, we're talking about this decentralized network, just a repetition. This is what it looks like. What I presented schematically earlier, I presented here with computers and monitors. So anyone can run any number of servers on the network. For example, here's Hubzilla, Mastodon, and PeerTube as examples. So in itself, those are all closed off networks that have their own setting, that share functions, but have the option to additionally exchange communication. So for any of those who haven't tried it out, if I'm on Mastodon, I can send a message to someone in Hubzilla, on a Hubzilla server. And how does that work? These two servers are connected to one another with a protocol that makes them understand each other. And within the Hubzilla network, we speak another protocol. So that makes it possible to use functions that weren't implemented on the other network. And this can be of advantage. What is exciting is that I can cross-connect across networks. Activity Hub makes it possible. And this means that we don't have three separate entities, but one big network. And this network is continually expanding. And it's basically infinite, just like the universe. And it's growing with every application that is added. And as you all know, what is really important in all of this, it's all run on open source software, and that makes it possible to have the four freedoms: use, understand, spread, and improve. And that those are the principles that are needed for a free open network. And it gives me the possibility to become active in this network myself. Free open software means I can design a tool the way I want it to be by adding characteristics or features. And this gives me an improved tool that suddenly has the possibility to remove nails from a board. And because the network isn't owned by anyone, that means that it can't be owned by anyone. And this is the fundamental difference compared to Twitter, because someone like Elon Musk scraping and buying up things is not possible, because the network does not belong to anyone, because everyone can run a server and no one must run a server, because Mr. Lobo recently said that Fediverse will not be successful because you need to run servers, but that is not true. You have the freedom to run a server. You are not forced to run a server. So,
yeah, so it grew. I wanted to look up how many accounts there are. But unfortunately, the site is down. But it must be more than 9,000 accounts, 9 million accounts. So what's important is there is not just the ActivityPub. It's one of 16 protocols. It's not just Mastodon. It's 98 projects. So this number is probably outdated, but there is way over 11,000 nodes connecting all of that. And who hasn't done it yet can check this webpage as soon as it's online again. So the-federation.info, and here we see a lot of applications and all the registered users at the moment and the servers connected to it. And by clicking here, you can also see the single service for those people who want more information. Well, so this is where we are. It moved back and forth a bit. And suddenly we have this big jump. What comes next? I collected a few questions, also for those people who are working with the Fediverse for some more time, and maybe for those who only tested Mastodon yet. And with these questions, I want to make you think and maybe even motivate you to try some other software than Mastodon. So, social media. Does it always have to be public? If everything I post is public, then the data will be collected by web crawlers and data brokers, and it will be analyzed. So in Cologne, where I'm from, each year there is a big convention, the so-called DMXCO. It's about digital marketing and what you can do with the data. I was there once and had a look. So the company Talkwalker, I've never heard of it before, but apparently it's one of the main companies for data analytics, and they defined it as social listening. So let's just assume that the Fediverse keeps growing and people use it more and more. Of course, these companies will start to, or they will keep trying to do their business and then try to collect data in the Fediverse. So they might have to adjust, but it will still be possible. And it's possible for everyone. A web crawler is not that difficult to program. You need a lot of data storage, but there is also value in this. So there's another company I found. They're just collecting data about people and everyone who tells anything about themselves. And this is also what we do in Mastodon. So if we did it on Twitter, of course it's the same in the Fediverse. So if we want something else, if we don't want the same cola just with a different label, we have to think to consider, does it have to be public? Or could there be rooms or spaces that are not public? Hubzilla has options for that. Mastodon, not so much. I'll get to that. Then spam in the Fediverse. The people doing marketing there. And we all know it. Our mailboxes are full of advertisements and people wanting to sell stuff to us. So if they got our email addresses once, or maybe it got bought, I don't know. But in the Fediverse, these addresses are public. So they don't have to collect anything, they don't have to buy anything. If you have access to the Fediverse, every day you can click a new account and just send the biggest trash out to everyone. Because in the Fediverse, especially in Mastodon right now, there is no limit. I can contact everyone and post to the timeline of every single person on there. And after that, they can block me, of course, but the first contact is always possible. And I would say that's a real problem. If those people from Temetsko, if they see the value in the Fediverse, in spamming on the Fediverse, well, I would call it spam, then this is a problem. And also, if it keeps growing, the discussion is there. Who should moderate all of this? And who should keep everything in check? Spam might be one thing, but there is other stuff. There's other actors who want to put information in the Fediverse, in a network. And the bigger the service, the more difficult it is to control everything, to keep it in check. And of course, that reintroduces hierarchies. And we wanted to get rid of those. Everyone should be able to just move themselves using their own power. So I do not want a middleman deciding what the rules are. Sometimes there are gray areas. I can commit to rules, but in detail there might be differences, where there are disagreements. So we can still switch servers, but it's not that simple. Further questions. Decentralization, also with hardware, would be great. But right now, around 1/3 of the Mastodon instances is hosted by Masterhost. So that's not really centralized anymore. So for many people, it's not that simple to install their own Mastodon server The easiest is just to click something at Masterhost. But that leads, it does not lead to a decentralized system. And that is a problem. We have to be aware of that. We want to get away from this. These rooms full of data, where data could be abused easily. The best thing would be everyone has their own Freedom Box or Raspberry Pi or something similar at home. And that's just running silently 24/7. And everything is on there and I have the data physically in my hands. Not everyone can do that. But still, we could have our own host, our own part of a share hoster, so everyone's hosting themselves. But still, if the Fediverse really wants to live diversely, so I'm not just at the Mastodon, I also want to post videos, it's not just short messages or audio files. Or maybe photos, whatever I want to share or present online. If my application cannot do that, and for each thing, each application, I have to click a new account, then the hosting it yourself becomes more and more difficult. Because for every application, I have to click an account and host it myself, and yeah. I like doing several things, different things in the Fediverse, but hosting everything yourself, it becomes more and more difficult. And finally, moving or switching the servers in the network, if I do not like the moderators, or the hosts, or the local rules, it must be possible to move servers, or to switch servers. So it is kind of possible. You can take all your contacts, all your network with you, but maybe not all the other stuff that you built up over the years. And I think that is also a problem. There must be an easy option to take all the content that you created with you. There must be an option not to just download it, but also to re-upload it easily and keep working with it. It's not easily possible at the moment, if at all. So these were the aspects where I see that there might be problems with Mastodon, for example, Mastodon. And in the future, there would be potential for improvement. Before I now show what already exists, what possible solutions, I would like to show Matrix or Matrix as well. Some of you might be a bit confused now, but yeah, we can see it as a part of the Fediverse. It does not speak ActivityPub. Most of you probably only know it from a chat, but with a protocol of Matrix, we cannot only create mobile chats, but with Hydrogen, there's also a web client. That's just one of those. And in the alpha state, we already have these Mindstrix, and that's a try to use the Matrix protocol for decentralized communications. And there are a lot of options already to use rights management to build things. It's end-to-end encrypted. And contrary to ActivityPub, there are more options, but it's not as open. It's mostly created by a company, and they have the control, also how things can develop. So the structure is quite different. If we say the Fediverse is more grassroots, so bottom up, the Matrix is more directed by a company. They create the protocol. So it's a completely different structure. But I include it here. I don't really know all the things that are available in alpha state. Didn't really use that yet. But I think it's important to also include Matrix in this. And it could be possible that in the next few years, the things that I talk about now, the open questions, that maybe Matrix solves this and provides solutions in their web development. But maybe we forget about Matrix for now, because it's not ready yet. Let's check what's available now, and I'll come to the second part of the talk now.
Now, I would like to introduce Hubzilla to you. 4-5 years ago is when I discovered Hubzilla, and I was wondering how this can all work with all those networks. And at the beginning, it was difficult to understand, but Hubzilla gave me exactly the answers I was looking for. Hubzilla still doesn't have a very intuitive website. There's a development team that, contrary to other applications, is not too much focused on the appearance. So the developer team does not have a flagship server where stuff can be tried out, because that costs energy and a lot of work. And the idea of Hubzilla is to give users the responsibility to do those things. So Hubzilla enables people to do things themselves. And the consequence is that the developers say, we reach out a hand and we don't tell you how to do it. So, of course, you have a website as a starting point. It would be nice to have. This is not something that the community just, that's a given. So this website is 5 years old, and we're working on that, but it's not easy, because not a lot happened in the past 9 months. That is what you have to know when you approach this project. The presentation just isn't that good, but it works. In the end, it all works out, and this is what counts. So this is what the logo looks like. It's just those three dots. And before we take a closer look at that, I've got a story or a history of the Fediverse application here. You can see the numbers of the years and the protocols. So in 2008, it starts with a software called Hakunika. That can be reached under the domain Identica, and it was later renamed to status.net. This is what is seen as the starting point of the Fediverse. But I would say the real history only starts in 2010, because that was the moment where Miss Park was developed. And this application uses its own protocol, but from the beginning, it was able to connect to this website. And this is where the first federation was created. So software could talk to each other. But in 2010, for the first time, software was added that used its own ecosystem that is able to connect to another ecosystem. So you have the possibility to connect universes. So let's stay on this side of this slide. StatusNet protocol at some point became social, and before that we had pre-social. And there's also an arrow leading to pump.io. GNU Social still exists, but after in 2016, the same protocol. I'll advance one slide because you can then also see the protocols. In 2016, Mastodon was added and worked with the same protocol that's shown here in red. Many applications went on to use that protocol because the user interface is more attractive. And so this is how the other branch basically died out. And at the same time, in 2018, there was the shift towards ActivityPub. The ActivityPub protocol was derived from pump.io. It connects statuses. It has the same origin, and in 2018 it was made the standard. And they all switched from OStatus to ActivityPub, like PixelFed, the big applications started using ActivityPub, and there's a lot missing in developments that followed, but that couldn't make it onto the slide. So this is the ActivityPub branch. Now let's look at the middle branch. Diaspora also developed early in 2010 with its own protocol, and it still exists. And in the middle, you have Miss Park in 2010, and that was renamed to Friendica. And what was special about it is that they only use the Diaspora protocol, and Friendica uses its own protocol, and OStatus and Diaspora. And for me, that is the element that defines the Fediverse, that several protocols can be combined in one app and implemented in the same app. So Friendica is an ongoing development and software. It's a very good software. It's not limited to 500 characters. You can write longer text, which makes it more usable in a way than Mastodon, so it's worth a try. But it's supposed to be continued. The main developer moved on to another project in 2013, Red Matrix, that was released in 2015, and went on to spawn Hubzilla, which extends the Friendica range of features by substantially. But the story doesn't end. It continues with Zap, with a reduced range of functions. And connectivity to Diaspora was removed. and replaced with Diaspora. So there's another thing missing here on the slide. It's no longer ZAP. ZAP is no longer the end of the branch, but streams. Okay, so to visualize where it all came from and what developed. So we'll be talking about Hubzilla in more detail. So this has existed in its core since 2010. To make it complete, because we just said that we talked about Matrix and XMPP and that they belong in the mix. I put them in here, but that basically makes the picture a bit more complicated. But for completeness sake, I've added them. But now we want to talk about this. These three strings have three fathers, so to speak. Mike developed developed SOAT for Hubzilla with the koala bear logo because Mike is based in Australia. He's actually American but emigrated to Australia and he's living as a farmer, as he puts it himself. So he lives on a farm and uses the koala as a logo. And the newest creation in this protocol is Zomat, which is used for streams. You even started out with a StatusNet, then went on to work for Plump.io and also significantly contributed to ActivityPub. And Ilya started with Diaspora, had an extreme hype in 2010 as the Facebook killer, as it was called. And before the software was released, he tragically died. Some people are saying that he killed himself. Maybe he couldn't deal with all the pressure. Well, the circumstances aren't clear. So Mike pushed Frendica in the beginning, and Frendica was open for a lot of other platforms. So XMPP, you could talk to XMPP, to Twitter, Facebook. Well, Facebook shut its doors at some point, but it used to be possible to cross-post, and Tumblr email still works. And also WordPress has like an interface to Frendica. So I just added streams here in the branch. Now we want to have a look at Hubzilla. Hubzilla has a huge range of features. If I'm looking for something simple, and especially if I'm looking for compatibility towards ActivityPub, I should use streams or prefer streams because it has a few core functions, but has better compatibility with ActivityHub. But we're going to talk about Hubzilla. What is Hubzilla? Hubzilla isn't easy to capture. It has nothing to do with Coca-Cola. It's a beverage with many flavors, and that can be used for a variety of purposes. It's a social network, it has a cloud storage, it has a blog feature, you can have forums, content management systems, you can use it to manage your calendar. It's really, really diverse, and I would list the following as the main characteristic. There's Open Web Auth. That has nothing to do with the protocol, but it's HTTP signatures and parts of web fingers, so a protocol that many Fediverse applications already implement. And this method can be used to authenticate within the network. So if I can transport my identity from one network to the other, and with permissions being given to me, I can use those or not use them. So if I have the permission to edit the wiki on the other channel, I can use this authentication to do the thing on the other channel without having to re-authenticate. This is a really strong feature that is also implemented in Friendica, but Friendica doesn't have as many permissions that you can give. There's only the permission to make a wall post on another channel page. Hubzilla offers a lot more permissions that I can hand out. So this makes the whole feature more valuable. And it's becoming more and more of a game changer. People talk about it as a game changer function. If more networks used this, it would be a huge advance for the Fediverse. So maybe one or the other developer might be listening, and they might have a look at the web page cited below. I'm not a developer, but apparently it's not that difficult to implement because it's based on Webfinger, and that is already implemented in most Fediverse applications. So the second killer feature is called nomadic identities. This function allows me to hop from one channel to the next and take not only my contacts with me, but my complete posts, contents. I can migrate all of that, and I can do that on several servers at the same time. I can install it on several servers, so I can have the same parallel identity on two servers, which is a huge advantage. For example, think of a decentralized network with many small servers and many admins who maybe aren't experts. That means that a service can have downtimes at times, but if my identity is available on a different service, that means I'm still available and reachable on the network if one of the servers has a downtime. So that is very innovative as a feature, and it gives me a lot of freedom in a decentralized network. So you're still bound to servers, but not to one particular server. So I can be a nomad moving from server to server. So again, visualizing it with this slide, if I'm on this server, So let's assume this is me. I'm connected to that server. I'm registered with that server. I can move all of my data on that server and use the same profile on both servers. I'm reachable under one address that is registered with both servers. So that's also a feature that you should absolutely introduce to other Fediverse features in order to be able to move with sovereignty. So, and then we have access and permission control that enables me to control who can see what and what is used to give permissions to contacts. I can explore on that in a minute. It's a bit complicated. It's similar to the cycles from O+, and it confuses some people, but once you have a picture of it in your mind, you understand it and you can use it. It's a very crucial feature as well if I want to network and if I have shared interests with other people. Back in the days, you had thematical service. So, for example, you had a server for people of Cologne, from Cologne who are interested in heavy metal music. And they're using one server. And then you can find posts from people with similar interests. But that forces me to register with a server where all the people can be found. So that is against the decentralized principle, because you should be able to be independent from the server to kind of to have your peer group without being dependent on one server. So you should be able to create groups and send posts only to one group. So that is possible with the Hubzilla access management. There's a lot of permissions that you can give.
So there are 18 different permissions. For example, can see my wiki page. But it can also say, this contact, is, are they allowed to see my stream at all? And yeah, how can that be? Because I make a contact to exchange things, but with Hubzilla, that's not the case. Follower is not the same as follower, in a way. So I can very individually change what is allowed and what isn't allowed. And there might be situations where I disallow a contact to see anything. So, of course, there is a hub connection, but they are not allowed to see my stream. And they don't get any of my content mirrored to their stream. So, there are a lot of options what I can do. And, of course, I can also use it as an open ID system. So, with my data, I can use this to log into other pages that use this same standard. Hubzilla also supports the DAV protocols, WebDAV, CalDAV, and CardDAV. Who doesn't know it, WebDAV is the protocol that handles the exchange of cloud data. So my Hubzilla cloud, that is part of my account, can be connected to my computer with this protocol. So my hard drive of my Hubzilla account is directly next to my local hard drives. or with my phone, with certain apps, I can connect to this and directly save or store things. So there's a whole world of applications made possible by WebDev. And this is a big difference to Phrenica, for example. CalDev is similar, but calendar and event data. So what you know from your Google calendar, you can do with CalDev, and CardDev is similar again, but for address data and for the exchange of address data. And finally, Hubzilla for self-hosting. Similar to Phrenica, you can very easily host it yourself. It's pure PHP, using MySQL or a Postgres database. And you can also just add a cron job and it runs on pretty much any shared host. So similar to a WordPress page, for $3 to $4 a month, I can host it on a shared host of my choosing. So then I have my very own server, and that is a great thing. And not many other Fediverse applications support this. And we meant it this way. So we're limiting ourselves to PHP. So I can include a lot more content of any case. So there is the federated content, the macro block functionality without a character limit, and also the calendar data of my channel. Those are the things that are federated and directly shared with other servers in the network. But there are other things that are not federated. So similar to a blog page done by WordPress or done with WordPress, I created and I can create wikis, websites. There are different applications, like for Second Brain applications, stuff like that. Then there is the cloud with WebDev, a calendar with CalDev, address books, of course separated chat rooms. I can even include a shop or create a shop. There's a module for that. And with the permission system I talked about earlier, I can also start sharing audio files only against only for a payment. And your permission for access is only granted if you paid a certain amount. And all this can be done with Hubzilla. And that's why many people are talking about a CMS. So they call it a content management system. Okay. So coming back to our graphic from the beginning. Sometimes the mouse is missing, but we can see a lot of. So, we are talking about the green circle here. That's Hubzilla. Yeah, Hubzilla. And there are a lot of possible connections that are not even mentioned in the original graphic. XMPP connectivity. All the several devs, WordPress, Twitter cross-posts, they work with Hubzilla and older networks, of course. And this connectivity is possible with Hubzilla, but not possible with the others. And that's the water bottle that allows me to create my own sparkling water. Okay, now I'm seeing something. Are there questions? 10 more minutes, okay. Just 10 more minutes, we can manage. So, That's the main functionality of Hubzilla. I could do a demo or maybe explain more how the permissions work, because that's something that's confusing to many people in the beginning, because it's an unknown. So the permission system. It handles the connection between contact and content. So I have all my contacts. And the possible interaction is being handled by access control and by permissions that's connected to certain rights or permissions. So you can actually handle or use the files you can see. So let me show it another way. That's me or you who wants to share something in the network. And then there's the users who are not part of the network yet. And then there's the Fediverse users who are already part of other networks and they found them each other. So first you create a Hubzilla account. A Hubzilla account is something different. It is different from a Hubzilla channel. Similar to PeerTube, using one account, I can have several channels. With Hubzilla, I can an unlimited account amount of channels. So I have an account now. Then I have to create a channel. I show it as a circle, and using that channel, I define the channel role. There are four options. It's public, it's private, it's a community forum, or a user-defined role. What does that mean? So these 18 permissions that I mentioned before are what that means. Public, private, community forum or custom. And whenever there's an X, those permissions are connected to the channel. So it's predefined. A set of permissions that are given everyone who wants to interact with the channel. Okay, next. I can create profiles, and I can have several of them. So I cannot only have one profile, but as many as I want. And each profile has a name, an avatar, and certain other properties. I mention that because it's a unique feature, but that also only works within the Hubzilla network. So if I have a contact to Mastodon, I cannot use this specific feature. And it's a bit confusing. I only mention it because, using several profiles or multiple profiles, I can have different relationships. So using certain profiles, I can show certain things about myself with certain contacts, and using a different profile, I can have a different gender defined, for example. It's a great feature. We don't think about it too much, but it exists. And then I can create all the content that I want. It's a long list of possible content. And then in another circle, this content, upon publication, I can define the content with access groups. So there are groups that are predefined. So public, forum, just me, friends. And then, additionally, I define contact rules. That's permissions that I assign the contacts themselves. Again, these 18 permissions. And depending on the channel role, these contacts. So this channel role predefines certain possible permissions that I can assign the contacts. So the channel role overrides or it predefines the contact roles. So you can, it's not that complex, but you have to think about it a bit. So this is what it could look like. And that's almost it. I can then define privacy groups, and they belong to the green circle. They are on the same layer, on the same level. And if I then have contacts from the Fediverse or from, I have contacts who registered with Hubzilla, I then assign them to certain contact roles that I defined earlier. And if I then publish content, I assign the context a certain group, and depending on how everything is defined, interactions are possible. So let's compare to Mastodon. In Mastodon, I have four categories, four access groups. The whole red area that I showed earlier, it's not possible. The whole access system, that's basically nowhere. Only Hubzilla has that. So this is our first mega feature. So you try it once and probably you get it then. But time is an issue. So there are some more to-dos that you have when you start moving within Hubzilla. One more slide. I tried to combine Hubzilla with Joplin in recent days. And that's interesting because the data in Joplin, I can put it into Hubzilla, also encrypted. And I then have the option so there is data that I collect using Joplin, maybe using RSS feeders, and I then archive those on my desktop and categorize them. And this can then be mirrored on my Android phone, encrypted using Hubzilla. So everything is synchronized now. And then maybe done with a Markdown archive. But I can also put it into Hubzilla for publication. Or maybe put it into a wiki. And that's a special case for people. And maybe people are interested in using this. Yeah, so time's running out. I hope I got you interested. And this is my contacts, and thank you for the interest. Are you there?
Hey. So thanks a lot for the talk. It was very expansive and a lot of information which you tend to ignore behind the Mastodon mask.
Hätte ich noch detaillierter vielleicht über Hubzilla sprechen können und nochmal demonstrieren können.
Yeah, maybe in the end I could have elaborated more on Hubzilla. and, well, maybe you encourage people to use it. So Hapsila is complicated. It's not as intuitive. That is because of the many possibilities it offers compared to Mastodon. Mastodon is just reduced and simple, and Hapsila is quite powerful and might be more unorganized, but it's, well, if it's so complicated, what are three tips you could give anyone wanting to try Hapsila so that they don't get lost? Or maybe three beginners bloopers that you can avoid. Yeah, you have to be ready to use a system that looks different than what you're used to. So it's not a replacement Coke, it's a powerful instrument that enables you to do things. So you have to put in some time and energy, or you'll be frustrated pretty quickly. And you just need that time. You shouldn't be distracted by the confusion that might be there in the beginning. Things will become clearer after some time. So if you are using Mastodon already, you can import your contacts and activate them in Hapsila and start to write some simple posts. So the first exercise would be the understanding the access and privilege management, so that there's those two regulators that you can use, and then you can go on and add add-ons. So yeah, you basically go step by step and don't be discouraged on the way. So for those who are not familiar with the technologies, but have a friend, let's call him Peter, who set up a server. So if I understood you correctly, with this nomad identity, I could transport my contacts to other servers, like, for example, my own server. Exactly. So that is the huge advantage of Hapsila. You can start out simple, register with a friend or a public server, take your first steps, try yourself out, and after you've got the hang of things, you can move to a different server and try it with your own server. Invest €3, get a share host account or package and install the whole thing. So I'll be presenting how to do that the day after tomorrow at 7 in a workshop. And what I just created in the beginning, I can take that with me, migrate it everywhere I want, maybe even on my own server on a Raspberry Pi. And I always keep my identity. I never lose that identity. Nothing is lost. Yeah, that's a really cool feature. But like, if I imagine my friend Peter, for example, doesn't want to continue hosting the server and quits and disables the server, I would have had to migrate my identity before the server is shut down, right? Is it possible to mirror the account? Yeah, I would recommend that to anyone, independently of whether I clone my identity to another server. You can download your identity and save it, back it up to a hard drive. And if a server goes down before I clone my identity, I can reinstall it using the backup on another server. So that's a nice feature. And many people are even jealous of that feature. And we're trying to implement it on the whole Fediverse, but it's not that easy. Mike has been trying since 2015. It started using it in 2015, and it's been working all this time. So it should be easy to implement it in other applications, but apparently it's not that easy. I don't know. I'm just an observer, so I don't know exactly why. Yeah, maybe if your talk is getting some attention in the coming years, others may implement it. Yeah, might be. I always read about other developers appreciating the features. Yeah. But it needs more awareness. And there's also people who are not a fan of it, because you basically clone your identity using a secret key. It's all cryptographically secured. You have a public and a private key. And in order to clone, you have to export your private key from one server to the other. And that is against one of the principles of cryptography, because you're never supposed to publish your private key. But on Mastodon, this private key is on a private database that no one but the administrator is able to access. And now some people say, well, if I enable the user or the account owner to view the private key, that's not good. That's a valid criticism, and you have to be aware of what is happening, but weighing out the options, it's a win for the user if they know what they're doing. So you have to be aware of that. Whenever you clone an identity, you have to trust the admin. That's just something that you have to do. The admin basically has the power in the, like, when you clone your account, you're no longer dependent on one admin, but on two admin. And as long as they don't agree with each other's, your identity is in a limbo. But even if they were to delete the identity, I could still back it up from my hard drive. And yeah, that was some important points. We don't have any more questions from the chat. If you want, and if there's some other points that you would like to raise, you can do that now. Well, I was hoping for more questions. And at the end, it's not bad. As you already said, there's the workshop as well, and it's taking part on it's taking place on day 3 in the workshop space. So what will participants learn in the workshops, in the workshop? Yeah, I'll just put on my address that you can use to contact me. So only people who have their own server are really the master of their own data. So you should ideally have many small servers on the Fediverse. And this workshop We will use Hubzilla, but you can also use Friendica for that. We will try out some service. We will have the possibility to open a free test account on ShareHub, and using this test account, we will upload the data necessary to run a server and configure a cron job. And after 1.5 hours, we will have configured our own server that we can use as administrators on the Fediverse. So it's not rocket science. Of course, you have to get into the details. And if you've ever hosted a WordPress blog and looked behind the curtain a little bit, you will be able to do that, definitely. We will talk about all the buttons and levers in the back end that you have to get into, but it's not rocket science. And for many people, that's a possibility. So our mission should be that every family or extended family should have someone who has the abilities. So every family should basically have their own server. And there's the problem of moderation, which I raised in the talk, and that would be solved. Because everyone is responsible for moderating their own small-scale server, so things are basically managed on the small scale. This is my vision of the Fediverse. Well, it's not my own vision, but I'm a fan of that vision. All right, maybe next year we'll hear out some further developments in the Fediverse, maybe after Christmas. Maybe many users will be using their own service, or getting them for Christmas or for Easter, as in a present for the Easter bunny. So the possibilities are there. And I believe that the Fediverse opens the door. It's different than what all of those people switching over from Twitter are doing. They have different expectations. They don't want to run their own service. They want to get the same service they got on Twitter, just not with Elon Musk. But that was my point with this whole talk, that it's about more than just Mastodon being a Twitter replacement. Okay, thank you very much for your talk. I wish you all a very nice distributed Congress. We're looking forward to the workshop, and thank you to all of the